All right, we live.
What's good? What's good, Carl?
Chilling, chilling, chilling. Welcome back to the break room. We've been trying to link up for a few weeks now, but you're a busy man. You're a busy man. I saw recently you were interviewing this dating coach. What was she? She was a...
Yeah. She's a relationship and dating expert. Her name is Arvia Few.
Arvia Few.
Yeah. Y'all can do your Googles, Google her. Black couples, if you're looking for a matchmaker, you know, she's your person. She actually had an event in New York this weekend.
No kidding.
Yeah, she specializes in, you know, black love. She wants to see a black couple together again, you know, so it was a dope conversation.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know, one thing she's saying is like, you know, social media has us believing that black men don't love black women.
Right.
I mean, right. So, you know, it's a lot of different powers against that, you know. So.
Yeah. It was funny you mentioned. Yeah. And that was on what platform was that?
Fanbase.
Fanbase. Right. So log on to Fanbase and check out that interview. You know, it's funny I mentioned her because I saw you promote that interview. And just this morning, I was reading an article about dating. It's from a woman's perspective. It's from The Guardian. It's from The Guardian, and the title is "Men Seem to Make Life for Women Worse," was the quotation. And I know, right? We're going to get... And I guess the article was like, U.S. women... I guess in this article or column, U.S. women share the woes of dating men in 2025. So, like, for instance, it's my daughter in the background. So, like, for instance, this one woman named Babbitt. She goes, I would love to have a partner, but it seems like the men are super low effort, not responding on dating apps, not effectively communicating, not wanting to plan dates. A lot of men seem to actively make life for women worse instead of better. No matter what women say they look for in a relationship, it's completely ignored by men. As a dude, like, have you seen that with your peers or with yourself? Or can you understand why a woman would say that?
I can understand why a woman...
I've heard that in person.
I can understand why a woman would say that, but that's not all men. It's not all men. These are men that you're matching with on dating apps. I'm 50-50 about dating apps.
Why?
Because I feel like it's just the... I don't know how to put this, but it's the wrong people on dating apps sometimes. A lot of men use dating apps just to get sex.
Right.
Know, I feel like some women are on there looking for husbands, which, you know, wrong. But it's just, you know, like I was talking with the relationship expert, like, we weren't supposed to have access to this many women. Imagine you're just...
Really?
Imagine you're just swiping. Yep, I like you. I like you too. I like you too. And you match with these people. Like you start dating... That wouldn't have happened in real life with you walking down the street. You know, it's rare that you're going to see a woman and, hey, how you doing? Let me get your number. Hey, how you doing? Let me get your number. Hey, how you doing? Let me get your number. Like, you know.
I mean, some dudes, especially in the city, they'll catch them.
Sometimes we have some wild nights, you know.
Some shooters shoot.
Yes. Sometimes you have some wild nights. But, yeah. You know, so social media technology, it made it easier. So I don't know, man. I don't know. If you can decipher, if you can filter out who's real and who's fake, then yes, use dating apps. But a lot of women can't, you know, they just take whoever they match with and, oh, this is the one, you know, let me take him serious. He wasn't somebody that you were supposed to take serious, though. So,
well, you know, for me, I've been married for like 13 years now. Sorry, like my parched. But I've been married for 13 years now, so I missed the whole app scene or whatever. So like, I have a friend of mine, Ivana, shout out to her. You know, she would every few years she clues me in. This is Bumble. This is that. I'm just like, this seems more like a business. This dating thing is more like a business.
It is.
So
that's, you know, another thing we were talking about. They were saying, like, you know, black people we're like one of 100 in the dating app. So you're swiping, it's not a lot of black people. And even the black owned apps, they are owned by white people. For example, like BLK, you think that's a black owned dating app? It's not. It's owned by Match.com, white people, you know?
Really?
Yeah, man. So it's things like that.
I mean, because listen, this is America. A lot of white folks own a lot of things. So I'm not mad if like a black company is a subsidiary to a white dude. I feel like eventually, very rarely do we not answer to, you know, white folks, whether they're peers, their colleagues, whether they're people who are above us in the professional space. So I'm not one of those people who feel like everything I do, everything I touch has to be black owned. Sometimes I'm like, I gotta go to Best Buy. It's one closest to me. It's the thing closest to me. I bite the bullet. No, but I do understand the idea, the hyper focus on making sure, you know, things are stays within the community fiscally, because the more money we rotate with each other, you know, the better we'll grow. I get it. But back to these dating apps or the dating scene, like I said, I was reading this article from The Guardian, and it's women sharing their woes. Another person has said, I'm very disheartened by the shortage of quality men. Men my age are less educated, their social skills are abysmal, and now they're running into the arms of Trump and incel forums. This is Danielle from Tennessee. Have you seen that? Amongst dudes, like being more Andrew Tate, incel, you know, the manosphere. I'm going to be more conservative, right wing. I'm going to not go to school or not appreciate education. Have you seen that kind of, can you see her perspective, Danielle?
Yes, see that perspective. You know, I believe, I don't know the exact numbers, but I believe it's a fact. Black women are more educated than black men, you know, in a certain age range. Yeah, I do see that. But like, you know,
Go ahead.
I'm not going to, like, for me, I just feel like when you're speaking, when she was speaking like that, it's coming as if she has no other option. You know, it's like she has exhausted all of her options, and like all of these men are incompetent incels. And it's like, no, how many men did you actually try to date?
Right, right.
Where did you meet them? How did you meet them? You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just everybody's stories are different.
I felt that way, too. I've told people, friends of mine who are women in the past, like, where are you selecting these people? Like, what forums are you in? What areas are you going to? Are you going to the GameStop? Are you going to the library? Are you going to, you know, out of the norm places to find good people? Where are you going to? You know, so I've said that, you know, myself. So I get you. This other person, Raina, from Washington State, she goes, and I've heard this too, she goes, I find most men my age have a lot of baggage and they're not actively working to process their traumas. It feels like taking on a partner would be like taking on another job, someone to care for physically and emotionally, when men can't seem to offer the same to me in return. Now, I've heard this. I've heard women say, like, yo, another person too, they go, there's an imbalance between education levels now in the U.S. Many men don't want to date someone who's more educated or makes more money than them. There's also the Peter Pan syndrome. A lot of men here don't seem to want to grow and take the responsibility of adulthood of a committed partnership. I've seen both of those comments I said. I've seen those. I've seen women say, yo, you know, these dudes have a lot of trauma. I'm not trying to heal these dudes through their trauma. It's too much work. And a lot of them have this Peter Pan syndrome where they don't want to grow up. They want to stay young forever. And they don't want to match me as far as making money wise. They don't want to go back to school. They don't want to go back to school and get their money up and really like commit to adulthood. What do you say to those two things? Or that whole sentiment of like, men are not growing as fast as women. I've heard this a lot.
I've heard it. I've heard it before.
I know it's 10 minutes in, we're going that deep.
I feel like, let me just say this. We need each other.
We do need each other.
There is the, you know, find your career first, then find your wife, you know. Yeah. But I think it would be better, because that's another thing we were speaking about. White people, that's what they do. They get married at 25.
Out of college sometimes.
They get married young, build that family together, whatever, build together. They get to their 30s and 40s together. They have some stability. They're not struggling. You know what I'm saying? What do? We're going, getting the women pregnant, leaving them. Now they by themselves, they got to struggle. You know what I mean? while we just go continue being young-minded, go do the thing with another woman. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, we just, women mature faster than men. So,
why do we always say that? Like, women mature faster than men.
I don't know. I didn't do my research on that. So, let's speak on it.
I mean, listen, you got a sister. I got a sister. Growing up, do you feel like there was more pressure on her or you, or was it even to succeed in the household? You know what I'm saying? Like, was there equal standards, or was there more pressure or more expectation on one versus the other? I can obviously say for me, in my unique situation, early on, I would say my sister had the harder go around. One, she was the oldest, so all the kinks of parenting worked out with her first. All the do's and don'ts, all the miscues of an immigrant parent trying to acclimate themselves to the U.S. and what they can get away with, what they can't, how to adjust. They had to go through it with her first, the trials and error. And there's a lot of error, you know what I'm saying, admittedly. So for me, it was like, you know, all right, second go around, you know what I mean? This didn't work with her. Let's try this with him. So I can say for me, honestly, I didn't feel as much fire as my sister did as far as expectations, trauma, drama, the whole nine yards. Do you feel, and maybe some people say, yo, that could also be a patriarchal thing, dude. Like, you know, sometimes boys, depending on what household you grow up, what culture you grow with, sometimes boys are treated like a little more softer or easier than the women. Can you see that or not?
I can see that. For me, you know, my sister's 8 years older than me. So
8 years.
That was a big gap.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, that was a big gap. So I didn't really see my mother.
Shout out to Eileen, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Eileen. I didn't really see my mother, like, be hard on her for anything, you know. Maybe she might tell you different. But as I got older, you know, it was kind of the same. Like, y'all got to clean up. Clean up the bathroom, clean up the living room. Like, I don't care who does it, but it needs to be done, you know?
Right, right. I get it. It's just that I could see why some of these women feel like, you know, I had to master being an adult all my life. So now I've seen dudes who, some of them, had it easy coming up as far as...
Some women, though, hold on, because some women say that. You know why some women say I have to... Some women say that because their mother or their sister has another child and places it on them, and then now they have to... They're forced to be a parent, you know? And that affects their childhood. They didn't have time to be a child, you know? So now when they get 30 years old, you know... They probably already had a baby at 19, 20, you know? So yeah. Now when your child is 15, you're ready to be outside, but you're 30, 38 years old, you know?
I can see that. I don't know. I feel some mixed bag. I feel like, you know, I'm going to go back and rewatch your interview she was a doctor, right? A psychiatrist or psychologist? No, I forgot what she was exactly, but I'm gonna go back and check out the interview because, you know, we have to be better coaches as a people to connect with each other because, you know, I've seen like these rates lately, like there's a fertility shrinkage going on with our generation and the ones after us where we're not connecting more, we're not having kids, we're not much.
We young kids want to live their life.
Yeah, I mean, especially in this economy, I ain't got time to be paying for no daycare when I can't pay for rent. So, you know, economics has a part to play in all this, too. I talked to young guys today at my job who are in their 20s and early 30s and the mid-20s. And they tell me, I'm like, I don't have the time right now or money to be dating. It's too expensive. So
let's talk about that because they say this, too. They say you shouldn't date if you're not financially ready.
I agree with that because the subject... The person you're dating, the woman, they expect a lot. Let me take some right now.
Do you not search? Because what if you find somebody who accepts you and is willing to work?
No. I would say search, though. And if you're lucky enough to find someone who is understanding about your particular current financial situation and can work with you and see beyond that, cool. I'll root for you.
The search is essentially dating.
I think the search is dating, but the search can be expensive because when you're dating or trying to meet somebody, I mean, I've told women this, and they don't like when I say this. Y'all can be very poor investments. And like women, I mean, y'all can be, and like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, we have to constantly court you. We have to court you by taking you out, impressing you. Mind you, forget the financial cost for a second. Let's throw that out the window. Yo, it's mentally taxing to like have to constantly create an atmosphere for you to feel welcomed, provided for, loved, appreciated, comfortable, safe. That's out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? It takes effort. I gotta make sure my for lack of better words, my game is strong. I can articulate myself a certain way to make you feel like, okay, he's worth spending time with. So I have to convince you like a good attorney in court. You know what I'm saying? Why I'm that dude for you. That's labor. That's mental labor. That's physical labor. That's labor that's unaccounted for. You don't see it as labor because it's all abstract or it's not tangible at times, but it's all mental labor that I got to exhaust. Where you just sit on the date like, all right, what's next? You know what I'm saying? So there is that aspect, number one. Two, there is a financial aspect. And especially in today's economy, you're asking dudes to search and be the leader in searching for a mate means you have to date multiple women on your dime, And the restaurant bill is not getting cheaper. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Now, fellas, I would also say this is a good time to use your brain power to be more creative with how you meet people.
I saw somebody say this on Instagram. They say, choose the date, you choose the rate.
Choose the date, you choose the rate.
If you choose where the date is, then you know how much you're going to be paying. You can choose. You got to do your research. Find some place. Hey, it might be happy hour. It might be 2-for-1. You know, but
well, hopefully, fellas, if you date somebody and or you're talking to somebody first, and you find out after a while that they're really into Mongolian art or something, then you can say, you know what, we could do like a little date where I take it to the museum. If there's a discount, why not? I'll go online, do my Googles to find out how to make this more cost effective of a date. Take it to the museum. We could watch. We could stroll through art and learn things, and then get a quick bite, handheld bite to eat, like, you know, your finger food somewhere close by, and have like, some coffee and chill, and she'll be filled up by that much because she got what she wanted as a personal interest while talking to you. Like, you got to figure out a way to you know, finesse it. But, you know, men in general are complaining about, like I said, the labor, the mental labor, the physical labor, and just the idea of I have to impress her. If not, I'm out. And do it continuously. Because it could be, you could do this for like 2-3 weeks with somebody and find out, oh no, it ain't gonna work. Now reset, you know what I'm saying? And you're still paying bills. Where a lot of men are now rebelling, like, you know what, you know, like in a professional world, they have this thing called quiet quitting. People are quiet quitting their job, like they're at their job, but they're like not working as hard no more. They're pulling back from their tasks and stuff. And they're quietly quitting, where a lot of men I've seen are quietly quitting dating. Like, they're like, you know what? I got my Call of Duty at night. I got my day job. I got, you know, I can roll something up. I can be at the crib. I got my TV stand, my TV dinner. That's all I need. Like, I'm not going to go out to this safari of dating and risk.
If you're happy with that life, good for you, my brother.
Yeah. I don't begrudge anybody who does live that life because it's simplified for them. And a lot of men are simple creatures. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen women complain like this about, like, I have two people in my life I'm thinking about right now. Two people in my life, two colleagues. One said to me recently, Mike, why aren't men providers anymore? Why aren't men? She goes, how come men don't want to provide anymore? I said, what's providing? You know, they don't want to set the scene no more. They don't want to go extra hard and impressing. They don't want to even go out anymore.
This a single woman?
Yeah.
Kids?
Uh-huh. She has grown kids. And she's
how
still,
many?
Two grown kids, and she's still relatively young. And then maybe like 10 minutes after, another person I was talking to just had a baby with her boyfriend. She's previously divorced. With two kids previously. And hold on, hold on, hear me out. And this person had a kind of marriage where it was with a man who's very old school man, old school patriarch, not from the U.S., immigrant style thinking of like, you know, dominate, control, whatever. But now she's with her new man and they built the life together and now just had a baby this year. But she was like, this new guy, you know, not the new guy, they've been together now for a while. You know, he's great to me. He's this and whatever. He's way better than whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. But she was like, but I said, here it comes. She goes, I do recognize how my ex-husband, he was more of a provider. I said, what you mean? Well, with my ex-husband, I never had to ask for anything. So what you mean? If I said, hey, I need, got it. Hey, I need, got it. Hey, I need, got it. Like he would say, he would.
That's all they want. That's all they want.
He was like, I got it. He was like, now, mind you, he may also have four chicks on the side. He may
also treat you a little more controlling, dominating.
Oh, yeah, he was.
There is going to be stuff that comes with that.
So, but she was like, my new guy, he's a partner. He looks after my two other kids before him, taught them how to ride bikes, all that stuff. But the first few months into a year, he was very frugal with me. I said, what you mean? Well, he had to make sure that I was worth the investment. So he would pull back on getting me certain things, buying me certain things. And it took a long time for me to gain his trust. And I'm like, what's wrong with that? She's like, I'm just not used to that. It's uncomfortable. I say, yo, I don't know what y'all want.
That mindset is not good, my brother. That's not a good mindset. That's a take. What are you providing him? This man is coming in. Does he have kids?
No, he has one daughter in Florida.
Okay, but he's coming into your life, taking care of your two kids, teaching them how to ride a bike from your failed marriage, and you want him to just be cutting a check to you, you know, without making sure, like, yeah.
She was a little more practical than that. Like she got it. Like, she understood, but it was just.
Yeah, but no, you shouldn't even be opening your mouth to say that. You shouldn't be opening your mouth to say that. Like, you're coming with baggage. It's not just you. So I'm providing for you and your children. You know what I mean? Whether it's financially, emotionally, physically, mentally, helping them homework, ride a bike. Like, that's energy and all that stuff that you were saying. You know what I mean? So this is all investment. That's providing. But on the other hand, though, what are you giving me? It's supposed to be a two-way street. Y'all say men are supposed to be providers. What are y'all going to give to us? Sex is not enough. And all these facts that women are dropping. Women, I'm not even a traditional man. Okay, I'm not a traditional man. I don't expect my woman to be in the kitchen and cook. I do the cooking. I do the cleaning. You know what I mean? I do my own laundry. Women these days, my age, right. 38, 39, right. They barely cook. They can't cook.
It's definitely gone down, I would imagine.
They cannot. They're going to chicken Alfredo you to death. Those are the ones that can cook.
Man, I fuck with chicken Alfredo.
They're going to chicken Alfredo. That's the only meal they can make. That's all. Spaghetti.
That's so, my job, chicken Alfredo.
My thing is, they want all of this. We're supposed to be all of this. But what do y'all give us in return? A lot of women can't answer that question.
The first person I'm thinking about, she would always tell me when I would ask her that, I give you me, I give you sex. I'm like, that's not enough.
No, I don't. Without saying sex, what are you giving me? A lot of women are going to be, some women can throw in those nice words and say, well, this, a woman is going to be this and this and this for you. But it's like, come on, man. Y'all are not that.
It's definitely, like I said, I be getting all these, like, I can see why that article resonates with women because I've heard this all the time. But I always try to push further and ask women, well, what's the solution? Because, you know, Patrice O'Neill, famous comedian, rest in peace. He had a brash way of saying this, but he used to say, he was like, why should I like you? He would say, if I'm a man, why should I be into you? What do you do that makes me like you? When you're a young man in junior high school or in high school and you're looking in the mirror, you're trying your best to like practice your rap to what you're going to say to a girl that when you see her tomorrow at school. You have an anticipation, you have an excitement, you are trying to master your craft even as a young man as far as how to present yourself. And you want to make sure you're likable and impressionable on her. And he always says, what do you do in return for me? And that says, how do you get up for me in the morning? Like, what do you, like what's your excitement level? And like, what do you, how do you try to impress me? How do you try to get to know me? You know, how do you show interest in me? And a lot of times they're like, no, I don't want to do all that. I just want to be attained. And you do all that work of courting and stuff. And I think you're seeing the backlash. You're seeing a lot of people who are not as connected anymore. I think you're seeing a lot of people like either like abscond from dating or just like I said, they're in Call of Duty mode. Like, you know what? Fuck these women. I'm just going to chill in my crib. It's less painful. It's less expensive. And I don't have the pressure. Because that's another thing too. A lot of dudes have been articulating the pressure of dating. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I didn't hear 20, 30 years ago. Back then, like, people always say, yo, you got to get numbers. We're going to the mall. You know, we got to get to numbers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a competition to try to chase women, to try to attain women. Like, that culture to me, I don't see no more in these young kids. Not as much where they're hustling for chicks or hustling to connect.
I mean,
like,
it's there, but it's not. They're there, but it's not the same anymore. Like, you know, that's what we used to go to the club for and the mall for, you know, and have a pen and piece of paper. You know, now they're going and they're going to go do a TikTok dance at the mall, or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, they're going, you know, they not, yeah, but they still, it's still going down. There's still some young sharks out there. I believe that's what they call them, sharks.
Yeah, I'm seeing this whole shark. I'm hearing the shark thing. What's a 6'7"?
I don't know the 6'7".
I don't know either. I tried to listen to the song that it's supposed to be coming from. I couldn't even listen to 2 seconds of that. I was like, all right, like, wow. I don't want to be that old guy, but maybe I'm just that guy right now.
I'll be the old guy with certain stuff.
Yeah, with certain stuff, I don't mind. Well, with all things, I embrace my age and wisdom, but especially with some of this music today, I'm like, I don't get it. But speaking of music, I want to do a quick memoriam for D'Angelo, for Michael Eugene Archer. D'Angelo, he passed away this week. He was young too, 51 years old. I want to shout him out, but before I do, back in August, my man, he works at in the city. At a cancer hospital. So back in August, he had texted us. He was like, yo, you know who's in here? I said, who? They said, D'Angelo. I said, really? He's like, yeah, they're keeping it quiet, but D'Angelo's in here and it looks bad. He lost a lot of weight. I said, damn, for real? He was always a fit guy to begin with. But yeah, he lost a lot of weight. I said, damn. I said, okay. And he was like, yeah, it don't look good too. I think it's stage 4. I said, damn. So this is back in August. So I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. So this week when I saw it, I was like, oh, snap, I guess it happened. He died at 51 from pancreatic cancer. By the way, pancreatic cancer is the most aggressive cancer out there. It's undetectable until it's too late. Usually the symptoms come very late in the stage. So you have to, like, maybe, if you're lucky, catch it early by, like, just, like, routinely going to get checked out or specifically for certain cancers. And even then, it might not show up right away. But hides itself very well, and it's a killer. Like, it takes people off fast. I remember 20 years now from this year in 2005. I remember a Sunday. I went to my boy Will's house, and Will was like, "Yo, real quick, come to my room. Say hi to my dad. He's not feeling too well right now." I said, "Yo, how you doing? Whatever. We talk real quick. All right, feel better." Within like 4 weeks, you know, he had passed away because that cancer is aggressive. Like, it's strong. So I also want to urge men, you know, like, yo, go get yourself checked out, whether it's colorectal diseases like cancer. I mean, like pancreas, like colonoscopies, all that stuff. Go get yourself checked out, because that shit will come fast for you. But yeah, back to him. He passed away. And, you know, D'Angelo is one of those, like, as Questlove put it, from the Roots, the drummer from the Roots, there are certain Black geniuses throughout history who've always had, like, polarizing trouble. Dave Chappelle's, Kanye's. There's certain Black geniuses who are incredible at what they do, but they just also have, like, I don't want to use the word demons, but just, like, you know, troubles and trauma that they're working through. So D'Angelo's a cat who came out, what, 95, I think it's Brown Sugar, the album. But you know, he came out in the mid-90s with his album. And to me, that's my favorite album. Great album. Oh, yeah, July 3rd, 95. And then he had writer's block afterwards, and then he came back in 2000 with Voodoo, and that, which is the whole book with the whole How Does It Feel single with the video. And then in 2014 he dropped the Black Messiah album. So three albums in what, 30 years? You know what I'm saying?
So let me speak on that. I know somebody who worked with him, and she was telling me that he was always a little special or whatever you want to say. And then when he did the How Does It Feel video, he wasn't ready to be a sex icon. And she was telling me about there was a time where Madonna had kissed him unwantingly or something, and that kind of messed with his mental, and he went downhill ever since. Yeah. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, I mean, I know, mind you, that's crazy. You can't be doing that, Madonna. But
it's right here. D'Angelo's five surprising revelations from...
It's Spin Magazine, Spin.com.
No, yeah, Spin.com.
Yeah.
She asked him to sing happy birthday at her party. One press report had her sitting on his lap and French kissing him.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I see that. And two sources say that ultimately D rebuffed her advances at another gathering not long after. Sources say Madonna walked over and told the woman sitting next to D, "I think you're in my seat." The woman got up and Madonna sat down and told him, "I'd like to know what you're thinking." And he said, "I'm thinking you're rude." I mean, but you know what? Madonna has had this reputation of being domineering with men sexually. Like, she was aggressive with Tupac in the 90s. She was aggressive and running around with Haitian Jack as well, a street dude. She had that sex book in the early 90s where it was her, Big Daddy Kane, Naomi Campbell, and they were doing suggestive videos or whatever. In the book, people were having sex. But, and that's very ballsy. I mean, that's pretty much, what's the word I want to say? Harassment. You know what I'm saying? Or assault. It's assault.
It's assault.
That's assault. You know, Madonna.
He sexually assaulted that man.
Because if he went up and sat on her lap and just tongued her down and like that, be like, boy,
in jail.
Where the handcuffs at?
We'd be in jail.
Like, where are the handcuffs?
Let's not talk. We're not going to go into that, because there's so many cases of women doing that to men.
I mean, listen. I might have said this before on here. I was grabbed once at work. Grabbed. This is like 2011 maybe. 2011, 2012.
Grabbed your penis.
Grabbed. I mean, I'm wearing my jeans. I'm wearing pants. I'm at work. And I'm having a conversation with someone, and they think that I was just naturally open enough to just be grabbed like that at work. It's like, dude, like, yeah. First of all, I'm here for a paycheck. I'm here to work. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to, like, make money. And
was this a woman trying to make advances at you?
Yeah, she was trying to make advances at me and trying to fill me out. No pun intended. And
Now, what did you do about it?
I didn't go to the authorities. I didn't go to HR or anything, or I didn't go to the office. I just said, good question. Maybe this goes back to the patriarchy thing where I just felt like, just shrug it off and just not be labeled a quote unquote victim or not articulate the violation bestowed upon me. You know what I'm saying? Just shrug it off, as most men are encouraged to do. You know, dust your shoulders, like Jay was saying, keep it moving. But maybe that deserves some, like, attention somehow, some way, or at least some what's the word when people get together and talk to a friend who's like on drugs?
Intervention.
Maybe that intervention was needed. Like, yo, dude, you know what I'm saying? But
what if? Imagine how many other men she did that to.
Yeah, I think that was that buff dude. He was on Everybody Hates Chris. He was in White Girls. Terry Crews, he's talked about how an agent or somebody one time violated him. I know Brendan Fraser, the actor, he took years off from acting because he was upset because the agent had violated him or something like that. So, you know, a lot of dudes just take it on the chin, you know what I'm saying? But it was weird for me because you're taught as a young man to just, like, accept women's advances whenever it comes, because it scarcely comes. You know what I'm saying?
Was the woman older or younger than you?
She was older.
A lot older.
A few years. A few years. Under a decade, I think.
Were you married?
No, I wasn't. I was single at the time.
Oh, you were single?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you approach her after?
No, not really. We just, we went our separate ways. You know what I'm saying?
Call her after work, like, yo, so.
Nah, I was throwing off too much. I was just like.
That's a bad look, man. You're not a lady.
Nah, I'm just saying, if I could illustrate how much aggressive she would be in other ways and not reveal too much about her to people who may know her.
We don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. But I just felt like, you know, let me cut my losses and just let her be because she's too open. Some people are too open and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with you. But back to D'Angelo. Yeah, I mean, that's a violation on Madonna's part. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard this story of, not this particular story about the Madonna thing, but I heard how he felt like he was too sexualized after Untitled, after How Does It Feel? And for that reason, he really backed out. Because if you think about it, Brown Sugar to Voodoo is 5 years, 95, 2000. But Voodoo to Black Messiah is 14 years. So he really took a break. Like, all right, now I'm really going to fall back. He had trials and tribulations in between that. I think he had some run-ins with the law. But yeah, I mean, like I said, the black geniuses and what they go through. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, I've always been a fan of his. And like I said, Brown Sugar is one of my favorite albums from him and in general. But I do recognize how, like, you know, memorializing him this week and going through his records again, like, yo, we're losing more and more black geniuses and creators. And we're not really re-upping on new ones. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, so, like, when I was, like, a kid, you know, growing up, my OGs could tell me, oh, yeah, I'm from the 60s where we had Otis Redding and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm like, all right, I don't know that era, but we re-upped a generation later for the Princes and Michael Jacksons where I got stars now. So there's always been a re-up of geniuses. But lately, who is it? Who's the young geniuses coming up? Or who is, like, even the big three, they're old. They're pushing 40.
Like, when I think of young artists doing it right now, I'm thinking of the LaRussells.
Right. Shout out to him, the LaRussells. I like him. But I feel like they're living in the wrong era because they're making their product. They're getting their name out there. They're doing their thing, and they're paying their bills. But I do think that there's something to be said about having your platform on a big stream, on a mainstream, dare I say, for mass consumption to really push your genius forward. Well, we don't really have that today. Everybody's in their silos. I think there's some data this week how, like, or this last few weeks, how hip-hop is really on the decline with the charts, right? I know you mentioned this before, how music is on the decline, but it's like, you know, we don't really have, and not just hip-hop, but black music in general, we don't really have the same influence like we should have had consistently. Here, hip-hop has seen a decline in certain mainstream metrics, particularly in the absence of major new releases from superstars, artists in 2023. And it's like there's just a lack of declining in popularity and in music, in black music. And it's like we are not replacing our legends. We're not adding more inventory to our legend. It's like, what do we have left? Like, to me, like, I saw Joe Budden have Rod Wave sit down and do an interview. Rod Wave, he was, like, to me, like, the most vulnerable, introspective person we have today for young kids. Who else is doing that? Like, what do you, like, you recently DJed a few months ago your reunion, your high school reunion. Like, I find myself where, like, today, like, when you're DJing or when you curate some, you got to go back to the classics more than to current music to get a party going. If you right now in Atlanta, if you want to get a party going right now, what's a 5-song playlist you're saying to get the party started or the party right? Current music.
First song you're going to play, and this is Atlanta only.
Current music, yeah, Atlanta only
current. First song you're going to play if you want to get everybody going crazy.
Is it current?
Current, right now.
All right.
Take Me Through There.
Who's that?
You ain't going to hear it, but... It's Quavo and a young girl, YK Niece. Right now, it's the girls that's running the music. It's the young girls.
YK Niece.
They're not playing this music in Atlanta. I mean, in New York, probably. But this is the biggest, like, not Young Thug, not Future right now. It's the young girls.
I know what that is.
So there's a song called Take Me Through There. Featuring YK Niece. That's probably the hottest song in Atlanta right now. Nothing's hotter. Let me look up this. Now, if you click the song, You probably, if you're on Instagram and TikTok, you've heard the sound.
YK Niece?
Yes.
I see the name. YK Niece Huevo.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was on Metro Boomin's album that just dropped. You know, he just dropped.
I didn't listen to that album. How was it? I heard it.
I know you wouldn't. I mean, I didn't listen to it either. I hear people playing it because this is Atlanta.
I've been meaning to play because I heard it's an homage to his
this
Atlanta.
This is all the old school 2005, 2004 Atlanta sound.
That's what I heard. And I want to give him that respect of listen to it, but I just haven't had time yet to sit through it.
Yeah.
But I heard good things.
Yeah, it was a nice, you know, it gave a lot of old artists from Atlanta, gave them a buzz again. You know, J Money, Young Dro, you know.
Speaking of Atlanta artists who need love, that was a weird month or two for Young Thug, man. That was a weird time, a month or two.
When he got out?
Just the whole idea of the phone calls and just his expression of it.
No, all right, so look.
And his reasoning, you would see more than anything in those phone calls, you would see is his reasoning on how he views industry politics, like the whole Kendrick thing. Like, come on, man. Supposed to be doing music with street artists, you know, to help us out. Where's the G Herbo song? What's the one who's locked up right now? He ain't never getting out. King Von's boy, the light skinned dude. What's the light skinned dude's name? He's up on murder charges. Music with us, with Dirk. Supposed to be with us. Oh, come on, man, don't be selfish. And I'm just like, you're looking at music as a business, which obviously if you make money for something, you should take it seriously business wise. But maybe, just maybe, some people like Kendrick are artists first, and maybe he's not thinking, okay, I'm gonna put Thug on his verse because it'll help him sell, but the song may not feel right, but whatever. It's about money, nigga. It's like, there's different approaches to this. And he was trying to say, like, that's why Drake on top, because he take care of people, mind you. That's a whole other conversation. He's more likely stealing from you, but that's a whole other conversation. But my thing is, Thug was just revealing a lot to himself about how fragile he was. He sounded very fragile in those recordings. And even the aftermath of that sit down he did with that dude, I don't know the dude's name.
Big Bang,
yeah. I guess he's a very popular Southern Atlanta dude.
Okay.
I'm not too familiar with him, but shout out to him, though, for that interview.
Okay.
But he sounded very fragile throughout that whole scenario. Like, I always thought my impression of Thug was, especially with the Jeffrey album, with the dress, I always thought he was more sure of himself and more confident of himself and his stances than what he appeared to be in the last month. He looked very fragile, and he looked like I didn't think a man like him would be stuttering a lot and just like,
hold on, cut him, give him some grace. Think about what he just went through the last year, 2-3 years. Imagine you're making hit records with an artist, and then they say that your company is a gang in court while you're fighting for your life, and all these people that you helped, you know, you help make these people rich, and now they're turning on you, and you know, you in jail by yourself, you only got your girl to talk to, you know. So yeah, you gonna talk, and listen, if everybody's jail calls got recorded, everybody would be fucked up. A lot of these niggas be pillow talking to their girls.
I wouldn't deny that. But
what I believe from him, he said, a lot of this stuff that y'all heard me say on the phone, I've already spoke to these people about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he didn't say that.
If that's the case, then hey, man, I can't be mad at. I ain't mad at that.
I wouldn't begrudge the average man, but your name is Young Thug, so thug it out.
No. He's still a man. He's a man. He was vulnerable. Nobody else would have got him to be that vulnerable. You know, y'all want people to have hearts and be vulnerable, and then when they're vulnerable, y'all be like, man, you too soft, man. Damn.
In general, I don't mind that. I don't mind a man being vulnerable.
Wow. We hear the gangster side of Thug too much. Like, it was a great interview, and it was a weird couple first month or two, but I think he just had to drop the music. The album wasn't the best.
I didn't even like it.
The album wasn't the best, but he did a song with Lucci, and Lucci got him on his album. So they have two songs together. They're both great. I like them. I think that was good for Atlanta. After they did that, there was another Young Nudy. You know Young Nudy?
Heard the name.
That's 21 Savage artist. He has an artist named Baby Drill who was beefing with another artist named Ola Runt. So they went online and Baby Drill was kind of showing like, yo, look at the DMs. It's no really no beef. So that kind of started a little culture of resolving issues. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
like you coming out of jail, you learn your lesson. There's a big line in the song that Thug is like, you know, Lucci told me play it safe. You know, all of the pigs are home, you know, so it's you ain't come out on the same bullshit, you know. You didn't come out, you know, and you ready to go shoot them up, you know. You went and you made some money with him. You did a song with him. So let's give it up for a little bit of growth.
You know what this reminds me of?
No, you don't think so?
This reminds me of, is it Chris Rock? Someone said, in fact, I got a cousin who's in jail right now, who's in prison. He said, hey, man, I'm doing good. I got my GED and I'm going to take community classes and I'm doing art now. And he was like, you know, you could have done that on the outside. You could have done this on the outside without going to jail, without going to prison. So, of course, I respect the growth.
Yeah, sometimes you got to bump your head.
But I'm like, dude, bodies were dropped, I think, for the Lucci and Thug drama. You know what I'm saying? Think about those families. Like,
that's why a lot of, there's some counterparts, you know, maybe the Lil Wooties and, you know, YSL.
They're not rocking with it.
They say, but they're, even them is flip-flop. Because they're, in one breath, they're saying, yeah, man, the family's like, they shot at each other. This is, and people died. That ain't cool. I could never be cool with them. But then you might see him with a post that says, we love Young Thug. You know what I mean? So it's like, man.
I think growth is always is what should be strive for. So it's like, yeah, you want to see people mend fences and build connections and really put their resources to better use. And if you want to collaborate, that's good. I also feel like, it should be a warning sign that Thug should be consistently preaching to people younger than him. Don't be like me. Don't have to bump your head to learn a lesson. You know what I'm saying? Observe what happened to me.
I think that's what the community service got him on. I just saw him with some kids or something. He went to a school or something like that. So I think part of his sentencing, you know, he has to speak to the kids and things like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, speaking of people who crash it now, I know you've been telling me, like, you want to speak about Nicki Minaj crashing now. So I'll give you the floor. What's going on?
So... y'all know Nicki Minaj was online. She had her another little feud with Cardi B.
Right, recently. Right.
And she's just been throwing shots at a lot of people. Jay-Z, you know.
Rock Nation, Jay-Z.
What's the lady name?
Some person.
Something. The lady there. So a lot of wild stuff was said. She was talking about culture. She called Cardi B's child ugly.
Yeah, she was wild.
A lot of shit.
Wild. Poor taste.
Cardi B said that she really suffers from bipolar.
I can see that. I mean, I ain't no doctor, but I can see that.
I ain't a doctor either. But she said she has certain hood niggas, blood niggas, that hang with Nicki, and they come over there to Cardi and tell her all the tea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how she figured that out. But with Nicki, I want to know, Nicki wants to be the only star. She wants to be the biggest female artist. She doesn't want anybody else to have any limelight.
Right.
So when this was going on, I said, damn, again? Like, she's going back and forth with Cardi again. She's going back and forth with somebody again. So I said, let me go to ChatGPT and look up how many different people she's had feuds with.
Right.
Female artists,
right.
So I'm just going to go down a little list. So the first one that we all remember, probably the most.
Kim?
Yeah, Kim. But even that is like, she's not being honest with herself about that, right?
Who's she?
Nicki. Right. Nicki is not being honest with that situation. Nicki, let's look at Lil Kim's album cover. Iconic.
Right.
Iconic poster. Nicki Minaj, you did that after.
Right.
you did something similar to that after with the lollipop, I believe.
On Yes, too. There was a discrepancy over that. There was a talk.
No. I'm bringing that up to say, how could you, exactly, how could you have anything bad to say about Lil' Kim?
Right.
You influenced you. There wasn't a lot of black female artists like that back in the day. So she was an influence to you. How did you take that picture? You know, so you're feuding with Nicki. You know, Kim came out and basically said, like, you stealing my style, whatever. That was that. Which I feel like, Nicki, you don't have a leg to stand on with that argument.
Right.
Kim wins that argument. You were influenced by Kim. So I'll just say it. You were hating.
Yeah, hating.
All right, cool. Remy Ma.
Oh, yeah.
You're beefing with Remy Ma.
Oh, yes.
You're throwing little jabs. And who knows? Remy Ma gets out of jail and she starts buzzing. So you say what you throw your little shots at her. I think she dropped. No. Yeah, Remy dropped Sheether.
She did. I remember that day.
She killed her.
Oh, yeah.
Lyrically. Then Nicki went back with No Frauds.
I don't remember that.
You know, that wasn't that big. But now you hating on Kim because Kim called you out on your bullshit. Now you hating on Remy because she's getting a little bit of shine.
Yep.
Right? Okay. Then Mariah Carey.
Mariah?
Mariah Carey. They were on American Idol. They were on American Idol, and Nicki just could not stand that she was not the only female icon.
Roger, as like an accomplished.
Mariah has done this before you, when you was a baby.
And Mariah's
getting plaques.
A real vocalist, mind you.
Real vocalist selling real records, not streams.
Yeah.
All right.
For decades, but go ahead.
Nicki went on to call Mariah bitter. Mariah threw her little shade, but there was really nothing there. You were just mad that you weren't the only icon.
Sidebar, just so you know this, I'm biased as hell when it comes to Mariah Carey. I'm a Mariah Carey fan, fanatic. I'm a stan, but go ahead. No,
we're going to go back to that. Then Iggy Azalea. We won't have to go big on that. We know Iggy is crazy.
I almost said who?
Yeah, you know, Nicki threw a little, but this is all because Iggy started getting a little shine. And then Nicki went on her BET Awards and said a little slick line about writing their own raps. So you were upset because she's getting shine. Now, then Miley Cyrus. That was some little bullshit.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Miley was good.
VMA shit.
Was good.
You know.
I was like, change the channel.
You want to pick on the little white girl.
Yeah.
Then the biggest, Cardi B, right?
So it was a real threat.
Cardi B comes out. Now, Cardi B is winning from social media. She's absolutely up and coming. She's being relatable. Hood chick. She's like, yo, I'm from the hood. Like, I'm a stripper. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be on here with my bonnet. Like, you know, real BX chick. Nicki, you didn't like that. You didn't like she's getting a fan base. You don't like that.
Organically.
Then I dropped Bodak Yellow. I got the streets going crazy. Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
Now you popping shit. Now you mad. You mad at me. Why you mad at me? I'm just a rapper. I'm a female rapper coming up in the game. You mad at me? All right, well, I'm the real hood bitch, right? I'm going to show you what's up. I'm going to see you when I see you. And guess what? I see you at the Met Gala.
Press you.
And I press you. You don't want to do nothing, though. Well, you don't really want to fight. Yeah, some we could argue that's not the place. But if it's on site.
It's on site.
Right? Either way, you acted like you didn't want no problem.
Right. I agree. So far, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So you really just, there's no, nobody can boil down the exact reason why you don't like Cardi B.
There's nothing tangible or concrete.
Cardi B never name dropped you, nothing. Before all the drama on Twitter and all, Cardi B never, you just didn't like her because she was hot. She's hot. But here comes another female rapper from BX hood chick, young, got the streets on fire. Ice Spice. Ice Spice comes out, but Ice Spice is on your dick. Ice Spice is bowing down to you. Yes, Nikki, I'm a Barb. So what do y'all go? So you grab her, you pull a Jay-Z move, and you grab her and you go do the Barbie song. Now, who knows? Maybe Barbie came to y'all and did this, but I believe Ice Spice said Nikki went and got her for that feature.
Mm.
But you needed the young, you needed who's hot and young, you know?
Right, right, right.
So you tried to sign her. She was already signed by two people, so she didn't sign to you. And you start throwing shade at her.
I didn't even know that. I can't keep up with her scorecard. I didn't even know that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's too much. It's too much. You, Nikki, you're a hater. I didn't even see what Charlamagne was saying, but I believe Charlamagne gave her a donkey the other day.
Probably.
That weekend. Because it's too much. You've hated on everybody. I believe she said some words to like JT or
something like that.
One of them from the City Girls. Like, you don't like any female artists.
Which is a shame because...
That's rapping.
Right, that's rapping. Right. It's a shame because you should be an elder statesman now. You should be...
Come on. Come on.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should be somebody who's ingratiating people and bringing them in and teaching them the game, but...
She could be the Drake of the females and boost it. Every young woman would want a Nicki Minaj feature.
And she should have done that. That's partially how Drake would outlive certain years, you know what I'm saying? By continuing to tap in and have charting success with other people, just be a feature. So, like, what's his name? What's his name is working a retail job now? What's his name? McConan? I saw McConan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's working a retail job now, but I'm sure Drake on a set will still perform Tuesday verse, you know what I'm saying? So it worked out for him, you know what I'm saying? But it's all about how you leverage your influence and status to connect with younger ones and keep pushing. But like to what you're alluding to, it seems like she has this inability to really humble herself and do the work to see how much she's her own detriment right now to her success or to her likability. Me personally, I have a hot take. I think Nicki Minaj, one of the most overrated rappers I've ever heard. I think she's severely overrated. I think when people say she's the best female MC, I'm like, is she really?
No.
Because is she really?
There are females like Tierra Whack that I will listen to 1,000 times over Nicki. If I want to hear bars.
I take nothing away from her success. She's successful. She is a success to her career as far as what she was able to do. She came in on the right team. You know, she struck the pot while it was hot, or the iron while it was hot. And she made records that her fan base loves, which I don't really care for. The only Nicki Minaj song I kind of like favor is Moment for Life. And that's the first album. Anything else, you can throw it out and I wouldn't care. I don't care. Like, to me, she's irrelevant to my music, to my taste or choice. But Cardi B just dropped the album, you know, last month, and you saw all this.
Horrible sampling, by the way. Imaginary Players, horrible song.
I did not like that she chose that song. I did not like that she chose that same flow, cadence. I didn't see the point of it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see the point of it. I think if you wanted a boom bap rapping song, you could have just like, instead of doing a remake, just do something new and original with the Griselda feature or something. You know what I'm saying? That's how you can show the world. Hey, I'm tapped in. But to me, Imaginary Players was like it felt like a reach.
It was, we need a hit. What can we do?
No, it's going to be an oxymoron. It's going to be an oxymoron. But it felt like an effortless reach. So like it was a reach, but with no effort. Like, it's just like, yeah. I'm just like, we didn't need this. People seem to like the album, though. People seem to like it. I don't really care for it too much.
Did Kia listen to it?
Yeah, I think she liked it. I think she did. But
anybody Latino is gonna ride for.
Well, she definitely has a song on there that's a pays homage to Tipico, which is like a very like, folksy, high BPM type of country DR genre of music. So she definitely showed love a little bit to her origins. But it was definitely spread out. It was definitely I don't know. It was a bit much. I didn't really care for it. I did not.
Did you listen to Memphis Bleak album?
He has one? A new one? Something new?
I didn't listen to, I skimmed through a couple songs, but my man was telling me, like, yo, Memphis Bleak dropped the album. Everybody's going crazy over it. So, yeah, man, he just dropped the album.
He did?
Yeah.
And mind you, I'm someone who I'll say his first two or three albums, I used to play in high school. Like, I liked them. So, like, I don't mean that, like, just to, no dirt or smart on his name. Or try to play him. It's just, I didn't know I know he has a podcast he does, but I didn't know he was actually making music still. So for that, I'll go back and check. There's been so much music coming out. Like Nas has those 7 albums, you know, from artists like De La Soul's coming out soon. Mobb Deep just dropped. He did a Slick Rick album.
I want to check out that Mobb Deep shit.
I listen to the first few songs. It sounded cool. It's just that when people do posthumous stuff and take verses that are, even if they're unreleased verses, never heard, so they're new to you as a listener, it still feels weird because you can tell how, like, this verse was just placed here, but how do you know he would have said these words to this beat? How do you, like, that'll, you know, sometimes music also is about,
a lot of times,
it's about the feeling and how the original intention of the artist listening to a
that
song
brings it out of you. The feeling when you hear that makes you.
Yeah,
think about what you want to say.
Right, yeah, so it's more personalized, and you can feel that personalization a lot of times when it's real intentioned or intentional music for a song, for a track. But we just placing verses here and there. It's like you can hear it. You can hear like this is soulless in a way. It's soulless. So I have an issue with that when it comes to posthumous. So I took it with a grain of salt, but I'm gonna play it still for the beats and stuff. But other than that, I mean, Nas has been on this run. Nas, he's been releasing albums for different artists, like Rick and whoever. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not really checking for anything right now in particular because it's so dry. But you were saying how, like, nowadays you can't even trust music because there's a lot of bots that are confirmed, you know, pushing streams.
I mean, that's what I want everybody to take away from the Drake lawsuit. That all the back and forth and this and that. That's what everybody should have taken away from the lawsuit is that.
And the dismissal.
It is confirmed that artists use bots and purchase bots. Even Young Thug, everybody was focusing on him snitching and blah, blah, blah. No, he said they purchased a bot pack for Gunna, and that's how his album got there. So that's what everybody needs to understand. This is a numbers. This is manipulation. They manipulate and money talks, and you can make a album go number one if you have the right money. You know.
Yeah, I think Thug has said he spent like $20,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I think maybe more, but whatever it is. Yeah, man. So it's fake. I don't like this streaming era of music. Once again, like, we can Google, what does a one stream equal?
Right.
In dollars, it's like 0.0 to whatever, right?
Right, right. Something like that, depending on the service.
Right?
Yeah.
But who agreed on that?
Right, who agreed on that? Right.
Did all the artists agree on that? Because at one point it was CDs where there was an average price where you know it's going to cost you X amount to print it, so we got to sell it for X amount and artists can get this, and you know, but now it's not like that. Now it's the streaming stuff, and you got to stream, like Snoop spoke about it. I forgot how much it was, but sold however much million and only made 40,000 or something.
Yeah, like. I remember seeing that quote in that clip. I mean, tangible media is always more valuable to me. Christopher Nolan, the film director from Batman Begins and Dark Knight to Oppenheimer, etc., he's always preaching that, like, you should buy your media, buy your films, your albums, buy yourself, because, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. This past spring, the third of a trilogy, 28 years later, came out, the zombie movie. But for 2 years prior, for years prior, you couldn't watch the original movie from 2002, 28 days later, because there was some litigation or some limbo with between the distributor and the publisher of that film. So like, it was like you couldn't even buy it. You couldn't stream it anymore. So you had to like really look for an old DVD to buy it. And the DVDs are not in abundance anymore. So it's like people couldn't watch it for a while. But finally, with the trilogy coming out, they had to find a way to get it back out to people to refresh their minds. But it's like you're beholden to these companies to like either provide you with content or not. And that's dangerous that the consumer has lost power as far as when and how they can consume their product. Which is why I've never fully embraced MP3 file sharing. You know, I grew up off of Napster and later LimeWire and Kazaa and all that stuff. And I would use it when I needed to, but I always still purchase music because I'm like, you need to still purchase products so they still come back to you down the road. If you just stop purchasing a product, that business will close down. And I feel like part of the reason why we have this situation of lack of artistry and lack of Black geniuses is because we sold out and we devalued music. You know what I'm saying? We devalued it. Yo, you talk to any young kid today and ask them, did you buy that album? They're like, you crazy. Like they don't really have that same connection with treating art like that, treating music as art, you know? I think we fucked up as a culture and as a community by embracing the first MP3 illegal file sharing and then streaming. But that's my hot take. That's me. But yeah, real quick, the Drake dismissal is what I'll say.
He lost in the streets and in court.
Oh my God, yeah. He lost the Black way and the white way. I feel like, mind you, he's appealing. Feel like, dude, it was a long shot to begin with because I've always heard from a legal sense, it's very hard to, it's pretty difficult to prove, what's it called? Not slander. Defamation. It's hard. It's hard. It's a hard thing because, especially in the world of art, whether it's
right.
There's
no way that he could have proven defamation if he didn't lose any deals, ticket sales.
Right.
Went on to sell and do this concert and all of that. How can you prove that you defamed him? You didn't defame him.
Right. You just got outworked. Got outworked. That's all that was.
And the court, I forgot exactly what they said, but they basically said like...
The metaphorical blow, they said something like that.
Yeah. Like, they can't count that as defamation in a rap battle.
In a rap battle. And mind you, in the battle, you were egging on certain content to be spoken about, and then lo and behold, here we are. So it's like, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say tell that dude that I talked to young girls, whatever. Well, he did that, or allegedly did that. But I don't know. I just feel like it was a waste of time. I also feel like this is speculation, of course, speculation. I feel like he's also bleeding the clock and trying to get his money, and he thought maybe he can get a lick off a lawsuit. Because I feel like he's starting to realize as notarized as I am, as popular as I am, quote unquote beloved as I am, there's a dwindle starting. And people don't fuck me like they used to. This is not 2016. Anything I do is gold.
Call your big homie Wayne and ask him how he dealt with it. Call Nicki Minaj and ask her how she dealt with it. Call Jay-Z and ask him how he dealt with it. Everybody has to deal with that decline as an artist. And we see the artists who can deal with it and the artists who cannot.
Yeah, I agree. And he's seen like someone who's not coping well with a potential decline. So I don't know.
Do you hear Lil Wayne saying, these young rappers, this young music, he's old like all these other niggas. Do you hear him talking about the young niggas?
Nah.
Or is he jumping on the niggas like Cordae's song? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Embracing.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that, Cordae, because� if you notice Drake in the last 10 years. Let's go 10 years.
He's not getting on no real songs or no real spitters.
That's what I'm gonna tell you. Like people haven't noticed that. Like you'll do JB Black Boy. You'll do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Sexy Red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeet. Yeah.
Well,
that's who he's gonna shine on. That's if I listen to a Yeet verse and then I listen to a Drake verse, same song, I'm gonna be like, damn, Drake killed that. Yeah.
And you'll get Cole on your album with a Super Bowl song, but Cole, not for nothing. Cole was he's so peaceful that he'll just like capitulate to you and big you up. Half that verse is him bigging you up. You know what I'm saying? So you know, Benny Bane the Butcher has said, I have a Drake record for years, but he didn't clear it. We get it together, but he hasn't cleared it yet. I'm like, interesting.
Wayne is the only person he would let outshine him on a record. And that's because that's who put him on.
Right, right. It's crazy. It's interesting. Interesting times. Mind you, if you think about it, he's been...
Maybe Ross or Jay-Z. Yeah. Maybe.
If you think about it, he's been teasing for a few months now, this Iceman album, this Iceman.
Well, I think like what you said, I don't know what Kai Cenat watched. I think it was like a movie or...
Well, he's been doing this series.
Yeah.
It's like episodes, episodic. And then with the episodes, he'll bleed in some songs from the album, upcoming album, and have you check it out or have that little music videos within. But they haven't been resonating.
So Kai Cenat, biggest streamer in the world, went on his stream and said, yo, this shit is ass.
Yeah. And it was.
He said, this is ass. So it's like, that's the young, that's your demographic. That's the young kids. That's what they saying about this shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So
and you want them.
I don't know, man. You just got to deal. You got to deal with it, bro. You're getting older, man.
How long do you want to this dude?
But that shit is addictive. That limelight, you know, but it's like you're Drake. You'll be able to get money forever.
Yeah, I think so. I think you should be able to, or you should be able to age gracefully because
he could go do a Las Vegas residency.
I don't even think he's there yet for that. I think that's like,
oh, stop it.
I think you know there was a time where
wait,
what happened?
Stop it.
No, I'm saying I don't think he's that far gone. I think this is like 06, Jay-Z, Kingdom Come. All right, I'm getting older now. Let me. Find my niche to reintroduce myself to a young crowd, but still sell records, do my thing, and be popping. And Jay did that for a few years. He did American Gangster album, and then he would do Blueprint 3, and he still showed, no, I'm a viable commercial artist, just that I'm aging gracefully now. I'm no longer trying to chase the young girls, you know what I'm saying? My content's changing, and I'm still selling records with the... That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Jay didn't tap out early and say, all right, time in Vegas. I'm saying, Drake, you're still in it. It's just that you got to grow up, too.
He don't want to grow up.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm thinking like 20 years from now, maybe it's Vegas residency or 15 years from now, but not right now. You still have it as long as you are willing to embrace, you know, the original core parts of you. Because originally, you were so far gone, which means you were vulnerable. You were suburban. You were a lover boy. And you spoke to that sensibility. This whole mafia thing that you do now, the mob.
Did you hear his boss? Did you hear Wayne? Wayne literally said it. There's audio of Wayne saying, I told Drake to stick to the female type of songs.
Yeah, that's what works. That's your bread and butter. Well, that should have been your bread and butter. All this mob ties, like, what are we doing? You're not a mobster.
Anyway, he's done with Drake. Drake is just Drake. He's going to, I think he reached his peak. I don't think he's ever going to have the big hit record where everybody's going crazy and like those days are done. I think Kendrick put a nail in that coffin. He's just going to make songs and they're going to chart and do well because he's Drake and he's still got fans. But like right now, does Drake have the hottest song on the radio right now? No.
Does he have any song on the radio right now?
I mean, no.
That's what I'm saying. And you're trying to release an Iceman album. And the rumor was it was supposed to be in October for your birthday. But I don't hear no.
You see the young niggas is doing, you hear the young nigga Cash Cobain got shit popping, you go and get on his shit. Well, leave these young niggas alone, Drake. Leave them alone.
Yeah, like Like, it's not your speed and it's not your type.
Leave him alone.
You're trying to force it.
Leave him alone. Go get your own. Go. Where's the OVO artist? You get destroyed by Kendrick, and then that's your time to work with Party Next Door, while Party Next Door has literally been screaming and crying his whole career. Like,
yeah, I need help.
I need help. Drake's been stealing my songs and this and that. Like, so now you get destroyed and you feel like, now this is the time. Now I can put out this R&B stuff, because if anybody says anything, I can just say, yo, that was just me fucking around with Party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It kind of cheapens the event, because it's like you're doing it at gunpoint now.
Now, are you embracing Party now? Are you with him on? I seen him performing. Are you with him? It's like he's back on the shelf.
Right. Like it was here today, gone today. We're like,
hang it up, Drake. Hang it up.
He needs a real break.
Music, you know, and then it was a lot. What did he say on stage talking about the London? I think London rap is like, you don't know personal. What. You don't know what demographic that you want to fucking steal or ride on, like, bro.
Well, that's car salesman talk. Just like, let me just like tap dance for this crowd. I'm here right now.
That's what he do the whole time. Tap dance for everybody.
Real quick, speaking of dancing, you wanted to touch upon that video. Somebody got kicked off stage. What happened?
Yeah, man. We didn't have to touch up on it, but it was just funny. The singer Mario kicking the videographer off stage. When you saw that, how do you feel?
Because I barely saw it. I saw the headline and I saw the still shot, but I didn't watch the actual. Like, so here I am. I'm seeing it right now as he's singing somebody.
No, but you gotta when we get off the phone, listen to him.
But I watch it right now, and he's like saying people like, "Yo, get this guy off the stage." But I thought he literally kicked him off.
No.
He berates him. Like, get off the stage.
You gotta get the fuck off the stage. Yo, man, get the fuck off stage.
But why? I gotta get off the stage for why?
That's the question. He was the videographer that was paid to film the event. He was paid to be there.
I would imagine if you're a videographer, you need shots from different angles and you may need to be on stage or around stage.
It's this artist being a diva. You know what I mean? That's just all it is. You thinking that you bigger than the fucking program. Like, you're Mario. You haven't had a hit in 20 years. Okay?
Right. Like, relax.
Relax. Humble yourself. I didn't do my research to see, like, I doubt that was a Mario show.
Right.
You were on the ticket. So relax, let the videographer do their work.
Do you feel like videographers get no respect or less respect?
Yes, we don't get any respect.
How are you disrespected as a videographer? How are you disrespected as a videographer?
People just look at you, you're just the cameraman. They don't look at you as somebody important, which I feel like it's ridiculous in these days where you're going to consume the content that we post. What are you watching on social media? Photos and videos. Who's taking this stuff? Videographers and, you know, photographers. So, yeah, they don't. It's like when you go to an event and we're the people serving the food. You know, the people in the black, waitresses coming to serve you the plates and giving you the hors d'oeuvres and stuff. People look at us like, oh, you're just the help. Like, you know, people look like, I'm here to party. I'm here for the celebrity. I'm backstage. I'm somebody. Who are you? You're nobody. You're supposed to just be taking photos of the celebrity.
There's a hierarchy talk.
Yeah. You ain't nobody. You're supposed to be taking pictures of me. You're just the little cameraman, you know, so.
And mind you, people know better, because when it comes to a wedding, you don't tell the guests, hey, y'all, everybody use their iPhones to take pictures for the night and it's just sent to me.
I think
you hire professionals.
I think there's different on a wedding. I don't get disrespected. If you're the videographer for a wedding, people know that the groom and bride hired you to capture this wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit more respect there on a wedding. versus, let's just say, a concert where there may be multiple videographers there. Mm-hmm. How does a celebrity respect, you know, the five different videographers? They don't have no respect for them. I mean, the smart ones respect everybody because you never know who is who, but yeah, man. So like Mario, you probably felt like the videographer was too much on stage and was going to take away from the performance.
You can't dance like me.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, once again, Mario, you're not on there with 50 choreographed dancers and pyrotechnics, fireworks and all. Like, you didn't, it's you. And you're singing, "Come On and Braid My Hair." Like, let the videographer, he should be able to get as close as he wants. Why not embrace the cameraman? Let him get close and give him a little 1-2 so you got a nice video footage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why wouldn't you do that?
I've heard of some celebrities with TMZ out in L.A. They after a while, they say, you know what? Or with paparazzi, like, take the picture with them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Defuse the situation, and then they'll leave you alone quicker afterwards.
You see what Ross start? Go look up Ross and TMZ. Ross does that a lot with TMZ. They come up to him asking questions. He's like, no. Let me put the camera on you. Let me ask you a question. Like, what's up? And so, you know.
Have fun with it.
Yeah, people, I don't know, people crazy. But I think he addressed it. I think Mario even addressed it and made a post. I didn't even watch it because I didn't want to hear what he had to say about it, but.
You were fed up already.
Yeah, because you, nigga, you're an asshole. You don't have to be an asshole to somebody. That's not somebody who snuck on stage. You know,
right? They were hired to do a job.
He was hired, so humble yourself.
Respect the labor of it all. Respect the labor.
Humble yourself.
Yeah, respect also, the labor. He didn't bring no backstage pass to, like, you know, do this. No. If you don't respect their labor, then, you know, like, why should he respect yours? You know what I'm saying? I get it. I'm with you on that. There's this hierarchy thing lately with people where my status is this, so I get to dictate my mood and your mood. It's just, get over yourself. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that bleeds into, like, classism and just, like, the idea of I'm better than you. And I get it. You sound like someone who's been definitely ruffled, or you definitely had runners with artists and egos.
All the time. You deal with that type of stuff.
Has there been any artist who's been the reverse, super humble to work with, and really was, like, cool, famous or not? Big Crit.
He's humble, down to earth. You can talk to him. Like, he's not a diva. He's pulling up to the video shoot by himself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Shout out to Crit.
Real cool.
I never sat with his music too much, but shout out to him. All right, interesting. Well, yo, my daughter's killing me. She wants to hang out, so.
Yeah. Go enjoy that family time.
Yeah, man. So we'll touch base, yo.
Yes, sir.
Later.
It's been talking to you, cuz.